Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, a radio program with a real purpose. We want to help educate you, the dog-owning community, about all things dog. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Each week, we talk about various aspects of living with the canine species. Karen and I have interviewed many experts in this field, including other trainers, veterinary behaviorists, and well-known and respected authors. We've also spoken to ethologists, and those are people who are scientists that study animal behavior in their natural environments. Karen and I will answer your emails when you write to us with questions you have about your own dogs. You're always welcome to contact me by going to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com. You can also contact Karen by going to her website, www.mybestfrienddogschool.com. Karen and I have podcasts for our shows right on our websites, so anyone can listen to our previous programs whenever you want. I have a question for all of you today. Do you have a dog that seems to have an overabundance of energy? Does your dog constantly demand your attention? Does he run around your house barking like a lunatic? Does your dog never seem to tire, even after you've taken him for long walks or runs every day? And does your dog pace around the house because he just can't seem to settle? Well, if you have a dog like this, I think you're going to really enjoy hearing our guest this morning, Jessica Janowski. Jessica lives and trains in New Hampshire. She worked as a veterinary technician and hospital dog trainer at busy veterinary hospitals for 10 years and then followed her heart to open her own dog training business called Puppy Please. In just a minute, Jessica is going to talk to us about how to get our super energetic, sometimes hyper and out of control dogs to relax. But first, Karen is going to tell you about the services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding towns.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Good morning, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I want to thank
Thanks
you
so
for joining
for
us in the Doghouse today. You developed a method to teach dogs how to settle down because you were challenged by a Cocker Spaniel with a Type A personality. Can you tell us about this dog and how you came up with this idea?
Yeah, I actually, the little Cocker Spaniel was the second dog I worked on with this. The first dog I worked on was a little Pekingese cross, and the Cocker Spaniel just was presenting some very similar situations, so I decided to take this thing that I stumbled across and use it on her. The little Cocker was a very, very drivey dog. She was bred to work, and she had been bred to hunt in the field all day, and she ended up as a pet dog in a fairly sedentary home with an owner who was also fairly type A in what she expected of the dog.
Right.
And she had started with a trainer who I think had the right idea initially, in that the dog was so quick, they were trying to catch behaviors as quick as she could offer them, you know, because everything she offered was so fleeting. But unfortunately, they taught the dog to literally throw behaviors at you as fast as she possibly could and then be off to the next one. So she really had no patience in learning how to go to a behavior and keep a behavior, such as go to a sit and a stay, go to a down and stay there. She would just sit, lie down, give a paw, spin, roll over, and start them all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a lot of waiting her out while she threw all this at you until she paused long enough to get confused. And we started to jump on that and start to build the length of time that we could get her to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, after a treat, she'd start it all over again. And you'd have to wait her out again. But the waiting out periods became shorter and shorter, and the moments of calmness actually got longer and longer.
Right. What do you call your method of pre-relaxation protocol?
I call it the pre-relaxation protocol because I actually wrote it as a precursor to a phenomenal program that's out there written by Dr. Karen Overall.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is known as the Protocol for Relaxation, and it's found in her book, Clinical Behavioral Medicine for Small Animals, which is actually a veterinary textbook. And I've gone through this protocol many times. I really enjoy reading through it and working dogs through it, but I found that for the basic entry-level normal pet owner, they were looking at all these steps and getting very overwhelmed.
There's a lot of steps, too.
There's a lot of steps. There's 15 what are called task sets in there, and each of the task sets probably has 30 or 40 steps on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you actually learn to go through it, it's not as daunting, but for the first timer, it's really scary. And I think you also get sucked into just doing the individual task sets and not looking at the dog's actual relaxation step.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I went down, and I wanted to teach my students how to notice the dog's actual relaxation and how to notice how each dog goes through what I call the cascade of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Every dog, that's different. Some dogs start by sitting. Some dogs start by lying down. Some dogs will flop onto their hip. Some dogs will rest their head on the ground. You have to know your own dog to know what their steps are. And while you know what their downward steps are, you now start to recognize what their upward steps are earlier and earlier. And it will no longer look like a 0 to 60 response. You now start to notice, oh, hey, his head came up, or his ear moved in a certain way, or his tail moved in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to cue you in that the dog is getting less relaxed and you have to intervene.
How would you intervene?
Intervening can be done by removing the dog from the situation, by starting to ask the dog to give you his attention back. If you have a dog who's only maybe 5 or 10% distracted, you have a lot higher chance of refocusing them on you as opposed to if you wait till they're now 95% distracted and you're doing damage control.
Right. Jessica, what about the difference between training a dog like this in a group class environment versus training him initially in the home? Have you been successful doing these protocols in a group class?
I actually have. And not only have I, but several trainers that I have let use this protocol have also used it with great success. Because, you know, we can't work the dog if they're already fully out of their minds.
Right.
That's a point where we need to get them further away, get them resettled, and then bring them back to a point where they can function again.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're fully already, you know, pumped up, all that adrenaline's flooding their body, they're not thinking at those moments. But in a class setting, you can certainly always, in any setting, always be looking for the next calmest version of the behavior you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of starting with the dog right in front of you and working towards what you want. You can't come into a situation and say, well, I think I should have this dog, if that's not the mindset your dog is in. You have to work with what you've got, but you're always looking for the next best thing.
You know, I have something that I'd like to bring up. First, I want folks who are listening out there to know where they can get this pre-relaxation protocol, and that's at www.puppyplease.com. I like that. But in here, you mentioned that you focus on breathing, and you watch the dogs to slow their breathing down to a regular pace, not panting. I do want to bring up, and I'm not correcting you in any way, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't really recognize relaxed breathing as opposed to stressful breathing, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, because I like to be corrected too, but you would want to look for belly breathing rather than the breathing through the chest area.
Yes, and one of the things that, you know, I teach my students to watch is actually, there's a really cool thing you'll see is the dog is starting to get into the cusp of this relaxation. Mm-hmm. A lot of the dogs will sort of take what I call the three inhale, and it's mm-hmm. huff, huff, huff in, and then they let it out. Huff, mm-hmm. huff, huff in, and then they let it out. They're not really panting, but they're not in a relaxed, steady rate of breathing. And you'll mm-hmm. notice all of a sudden that they'll switch to a steady rate of an inhale and mm-hmm. a steady rate of an exhale. And that's one of the ways that we start teaching the dog to actually be aware of the... I think it's hard to say that we're teaching them to be aware, but after a while, you start to notice that they switch into this breathing mode faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other big, big points that I always make sure my students are recognizing is that any time if the dog takes a sudden deep breath or a sigh, at all times, that is something we reward no matter what else we are working on in the moment.
Right.
Because just like people, you cannot hold tension when you're sighing.
Jessica, do you have a video online to show what this looks like?
You know, I actually, the only time I've managed to get this process videoed, I was so excited, and the owner got so excited herself that she actually cursed. So
oh,
I don't
no.
have a good video of this.
That's great. You should bleep it out and make it
yeah,
great.
Yeah, because
go viral on it.
Because
yeah,
I think,
probably would.
I think as a video, this would be hugely instructive, not just for pet owners, but for trainers too. You know, I mean, we need help sometimes, and when somebody creates a new protocol and we want to follow it, you know, I find that I'm more of a visual learner than just using, you know, describing something to me. If I see it in a video, I'm good to go.
Do you have photographs of the behavior?
I'm working
dog?
On trying to get some of them, but unfortunately I usually work by myself and it's really hard to talk the people through it and get the video angles that I'm looking
right.
for. And the video equipment that I have, it's not, you know, super high def quality, so it's hard to really video all the finer subtle points.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my goals in getting but I also have a 2-year-old, and finding the time to edit is a challenge.
Right, that's understandable.
Because there is a lot of editing that has to go into it as well, because, you know, the first time you do this, it can take easily upwards of 1.5 to 2 hours. And I don't want people to be discouraged by that, because that first session, I always tell people, get a book, be ready, it's like watching paint dry.
Right.
After that session, it goes really, really fast. But, you know, there's a lot of downtime in between while the animals are trying to figure out the game.
Jessica, I want to go back to a question I had earlier about the group class environment.
Sure.
Do you run your classes with assistants or are you by yourself? And when you have a dog like this, don't you find that you need to spend a lot of one-on-one time with them? What happens
Definitely
to the rest
do.
Of your class?
I will run my classes alone. When I do something like this in class, I don't take a dog who needs, you know, if they have never had any relaxation work whatsoever and they are just a basket case,
mm-hmm.
then we don't start this in a class setting.
Well, okay, so now
this
I'm satisfied with that
started in a
answer.
Private setting, or I'll have them stay after class,
okay.
and we talk about it in that case so that they already have an understanding of what they're looking for when they bring it into a class setting.
I see. Okay, that's good news.
Do you have any recommendations? Because, you know, to be honest, I mean, there's a lot of, most people really don't know what to look for
they
in
don't.
A relaxed dog. I mean, you know, except that when the dog's sleeping, is there, like you mentioned here, my ideal picture is a dog laying on their side with their eyes closed, or at least blinking. And the blinking thing is a great point that you bring up here, because quite often when dogs are trying to relax an environment or a social group, or they're just getting tired themselves and relaxed, they'll do like this like butterfly blinking thing where it's you know, you start seeing like they have a hard time keeping their eyes open or that they blink a lot. And at that point, they are doing the deep breathing, or they might let out a groan, like a, you know, and lay down. You know, like there's a lot of things to do. So earlier on in the interview, you had said, you know your dog. So I mean, if I was to do this pre-relaxation protocol with a potential client, what I would tell them to do is even before you start this protocol, watch your dog when they settle down and they go to sleep at night, you know, or when they're relaxing and watching TV with you or eating a bone, and keep an eye on that body language, because those are the things that you would be looking for when you're actually implementing this pre-relaxation protocol. Am I correct?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and, you know, one of the reasons that I like to have people think about the blinking is because it teaches them to watch the finer, softer points on their dog's face.
Mm-hmm.
I almost call the blinks sticky blinks, and that the eyes will go from marble-shaped to almond-shaped.
Interesting.
You know, the dog is really starting to let those features go.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start to learn to actually watch the shape of the eyes, then they start to notice the set of the ears. Then
mm-hmm.
they start to notice wrinkles in the dog's forehead. They'll start to see things sort of organically as they're just observing their dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see a major muscle group soften.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always something that you can even point to and say, that's the thing I'm rewarding. But you
right.
see a change in your dog. You feel a softness about them. It's, you know, I don't want to sound too out there, but, I mean, you really start to feel relaxed along with them. A lot of times I actually get really sleepy when I'm working on this with them because
mm-hmm.
you feel that reciprocal energy,
right.
and as you get relaxed, they get more relaxed. As they get more relaxed, you get more relaxed. It's a wonderful cycle.
Jessica and Karen, we're going to take a break just for a minute so that I can tell you what services I offer in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Hello, welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse right here on WNJC 1360 AM. And today we're speaking with Jessica
Janowski.
Can you pronounce your last name?
It's Janowski.
Janowski, thank you. Jessica Janowski, and she has a program called Pre-Relaxation Protocol, which helps owners teach their dogs how to relax. You know, in our earlier conversation, you know, we were going over some of the points of your pre-relaxation protocol, and you had, in that protocol, you mentioned that you strongly advise keeping a journal that the owner strongly keep a journal of the session so that they can keep track of what they're rewarding and what behaviors that they're you know want to be consistently looking for. Do you want to give a little bit more detail on that?
Sure. I think journaling your training is such a critical part of the process, especially when you're dealing with an emotional situation of a behavior problem. Because as much as we want to try to, you know, seem cool and collected, whenever we're dealing with something involving our own pets, it's emotional. And
mm-hmm.
I can speak from personal experience on that. I have a hound dog that has carried me through a lot of challenges throughout training. And, you know, she's the whole reason I got into training in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And as she aged, she developed some serious children phobias, and we worked through those intensely because we had been planning a family, and there's a lot of emotional sides of it. And through her ups and downs, even with my own daughter, it was so important to keep a log of what we were working on in a very unemotional way, mm-hmm. so that I could keep a clear plan and step back from the situation. But I also recommend keeping, whether you split the page and use, you know, half and half, or one side for your plan and one side for what I call the emotional dump, where mm-hmm. you have to put now on that side how you feel about the situation.
Great idea.
Because you have to acknowledge the emotions that come along with it, but you have to leave it out of the next session.
Right.
So my rule is put it on the page and leave it there.
Hmm.
And then down the line, when you come back and you go through this journal that you've kept, it's a really rewarding experience to say, wow, remember when we couldn't even do that?
Exactly.
Right. Remember
right.
when we struggled through that?
Mm-hmm.
And should you ever end up with another dog with a similar behavior problem, you've already got your trainer's manual ready to go.
Right.
Jessica, how many labs have you worked with that have this hyper, I can't relax, I'm a crazy dog type of demeanor? And I say that not to down the breed, but you talked about a field bred Cocker Spaniel, and many of the labs that I get in my area are field bred, and they're in the homes as companion pets, and they just can't relax.
That's a significant number here as well, including my own.
Okay. So this would be a common protocol for you to work with the owners of those dogs, with these hyper, I need to work type of dogs and I can't settle down.
Oh, I tell you, this is my first step for almost every behavior problem I focus on now.
Right.
I've worked this through with several separation anxiety dogs.
Okay.
One very severe for owners who rented. Mm-hmm. And they were being told that it was it. They fixed this now or the dog was gone. And just a short time later, the owner ran into the complaining neighbor and they said, oh, we thought you did, you know, find her a new home because we never hear her anymore.
Good.
It really works very powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because so many behavior problems are simply a cause of the dogs not knowing how to settle themselves down.
Right.
We've actually started this recently with a little pit bull puppy that I'm working with who's in a foster care situation who was found under a car at 5 weeks old.
Ugh.
And she's now 8 weeks old, and, you know, I adore pit bulls. I love them to pieces. I love terriers in general, but they have a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we are doing this from the get-go as a preventive measure mm-hmm. to teach this puppy how to settle from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Jessica, am I wrong to say that you could use this on kids, too?
I have a 2-year-old. I do use elements of it with her, including the take a deep breath, and it
mm-hmm.
works beautifully.
Uh-huh. That's great. Good. So you base this, Karen overall, I'm very familiar with her relaxation protocol, but this is your method of before you start that protocol. But when I read your handout, you have modified Karen Overall's program a little bit. Is that correct?
There are certain steps that I've modified for certain dogs.
Uh-huh.
In general, you know, the cool thing about Karen's protocol is I think it's very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It's really designed. It's not even so much that her exact steps are what you have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
The general idea is as you work through it, you start easy, you make it a little harder, you make it a little bit easier, you make it a bit harder, a little bit easier. So you're always sort of rising, dropping a little, rising, dropping a little,
mm-hmm.
and then you drop it really easy to finish on a good note.
Right. Okay.
That's how I see her protocol as being the most successful.
Now, you don't use the clicker with this protocol, right?
I don't use the clicker with the protocol.
And why?
The clicker is a very exciting element. The clicker says job is done in the way I work with it. So
mm-hmm.
I don't want the dog getting excited over this.
Mm-hmm.
I've used a very quiet, soft-spoken yes as I hand a treat to them. And the difference is astounding. I personally would never have believed there would be that dramatic a difference between a marker word and a marker signal.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, when you do this with enough dogs, dogs who jump to attention at the sound of the clicker and, you know, are clearly soaking that right in and ready to go, using the marker word it's a very soothing, they perk up to get their treat and they go right back to the relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a fascinating thing for a behavior geek like me to watch, and I just love it. And I also intersperse on steps where I like what they're doing, but they're not getting a treat for it yet. I use a quiet spoken good.
Which really dispels that whole myth that you have to be, you know, yes, and good dog, or use a happy, jolly voice, which is great, you know, if you want to raise the energy level of a dog that's very low energy. But, you know, I bring this up a lot, you know, clients tell me, you know, do I need to be more firm? I need to, you know, talk in a deep voice. And I'm like, you know what, if you walk around all day talking in a deep voice, then it's fine. But if you have a mousy, squeaky voice, that's just as good, too. But, you know, just be soft and gentle with the dog. You know, it's like dealing with like a three-year-old child. You know, you're not going to be screaming at it, and you're not going to try to get it too excited either.
Yeah, so
there's balance in everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wouldn't necessarily have a puppy party every time the dog does something really good. You just remain relaxed yourself. So dogs can pick up on owner energy, right?
Oh, they most certainly can.
Sure.
And when I'm doing this protocol, I let the reinforcement do the talking.
Okay.
And the reinforcement is the thing the dog wants. In general, I really prefer to do this type of training with food because toys are, again, that's something that's going to get the dog excited.
Correct.
And when I use food, I just very quietly slide it in. I have a specific delivery point, and I usually pick either between their paws if they're still upright or if they're laying on their side, I just deliver it right in front of their nose.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very consistent pattern. The dog doesn't have to get excited wondering where the food is going to arrive. They know it's just, I call it room service. It's showing right up.
Good. Very good. You know, Jessica, you have to promise us that you're going to make a video.
Yeah, really.
I will do my best.
Step up to the plate.
Yeah, step up to the plate, girlfriend.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies. You come on up and be my video crew, and we'll be good to go.
I love it. Oh, we're on our way, girlfriend.
All right.
Jessica, do me a favor before we close for the morning. Can you tell us a little bit about your business and exactly where you're located, and give out information where people can get this document that you've written so that they can start with their own dogs?
Sure. I am in Goffstown, New Hampshire, which is just outside of Manchester. I do serve most of the southern New Hampshire and even certain areas of Massachusetts. And I can be contacted through my website, which is www.puppyplease.com. My email address is jessica@puppyplease.com. And I'm always happy to discuss the relaxation protocol with people. I prefer to have it done as a training session, but if I know someone is going to be under the tutelage of an instructor,
mm-hmm.
I am happy to get the protocol to them.
Okay.
Eventually, I do hope to expand this into book form and, you know, maybe book DVD form, ladies.
Good.
You know, so it's a work in progress, and I do modify it as I go. I've been doing this protocol for about 2 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've rewritten it or readjusted it or found a dog that made me flip it on end again.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the writing world.
Yeah, and every time I send it out, it's the most current version of what I've got at the moment.
Good.
But I love working with all different types of behavior problems. Even I love working to prevent behavior issues, and this is a phenomenal protocol to prevent issues as well.
Absolutely.
It's not just something to do once there's a problem.
Absolutely. If you want to get a sample, if you want to get a printout of Jessica's pre-relaxation protocol, you can get it at www.puppyplease.com. I want to thank you, Jessica, for joining us on Thursday in the doghouse this week. Next week, Renee and I will be answering some emails that we received. Remember, you can get your questions answered by contacting either one of us. You can get Renee at www.jerseydogtrainer.com, or you can contact me by going to www.mybestfrienddogschool.com. We'll also be taking some phone calls, so please tune in again next week right here on WNJC 1360 AM from 10 to 10:30. Renee, can you give out the phone number to the station?
Absolutely. Our phone number is 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. And I want to take just a few seconds here to thank Jessica. Really, this has been a terrific program. Karen and I want to thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and your experience with us today. And please come back again soon. Maybe we can talk about the different steps that you provide in the pre-relaxation protocol and Karen's protocol and tell us more about that. Would you do that?
I would love to do that. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Everyone have a wonderful weekend. And tune in next week to Thursday in the Doghouse.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Well, I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout.